Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. The promises that God made to Abraham were material, and they were spiritual. There were great material blessings that were promised. But there's also another component to it, and that is the spiritual promises. Let's focus today on these spiritual promises that God promised to Abraham. They're important because they affect every human being on this earth, including you and me. We're going to begin today in Genesis 12, so if you have a Bible, please get it out, and we can take a look at a few of these passages together. We have a few scriptures to look at today. Genesis 12 and verse 3. It says, "And I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." So the natural question there is, how would all families in the earth be blessed? This is God giving these promises again to Abraham. And he's saying that in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. So if you come from a family, this is talking to you. And of course, every human being does. Everyone had to be born and had to have a mother and father. And so here we see that every single human being is going to be blessed by these spiritual promises made to Abraham. How is that possible? Well, let's continue down in Genesis 22. Genesis 22, and we'll look at verse 18. It says, "And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So again, Abraham's being blessed for obedience. That's a major point to consider. That's a whole study in and of itself, just the fact that Abraham obeyed God. And that's why God blessed him, and God does bless those who obey him. But more on point for today's topic, talking about these spiritual promises made to Abraham, it says, "And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." So seed refers to his offspring, someone that would come from his lineage. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course says this, and again, this course is an excellent course. It takes you through so many of the important subjects of your Bible. And it's free at thetrumpet.com. If you haven't taken it, please sign up for it. Sometimes people start and then they get distracted and they don't finish it. If that's you, that's okay. Go back and finish it up. Take it again and finish all of the lessons. And it's just always an excellent guide to go back to even once you've completed it. So it's free and it's at thetrumpet.com. But it makes this point. It says, this refers ultimately to the Messiah and salvation through him. This promise was passed on through Abraham's son Isaac and then to his son Jacob, as was the material part of the promises. So the spiritual promise was passed down, and the promise, of course, is of a Messiah. Notice Genesis 49 and verse 10. Some more specifics here about how this promise passed down through the lineage. Genesis 49 and verse 10, it says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." Now remember, Judah is one tribe of Israel. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." So we see the spiritual phase of the promises were passed to Judah. The promise of a Messiah that was passed down through the tribe of Judah. Everyone knows who Judah is, right? It's the Jews in the Middle East today. It's the Jewish people. And they live in the nation today that's called Israel, even though that's the incorrect name. They really should have called themselves Judah, but that's the tribe of Judah. And it's the Jews. And so that promise of this Messiah was passed down through the tribe of Judah. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then down through Judah. The correspondence course says the scepter was the promise of a kingly line springing from Judah and culminating in Jesus Christ and the eternal life we may obtain through him. So again, this is about a spiritual blessing and promise of a coming Messiah and a kingly line. You probably have heard of the throne of David. David's throne that went to his son Solomon and it kept going. That throne continues. It was promised to continue and never stop until Christ returns and sits on that throne. Because ultimately it is his throne. And that all went through the tribe of Judah. There's a great book at thetrumpet.com that talks about some new developments with this throne. It's called The New Throne of David. And you can find that at thetrumpet.com. It's free. It's a must read. Yeah, that's said a lot about books, I guess. Must read, but this one definitely is. And here's a quote from that booklet. It says, notice, where the King James Version says, nor, and this is referring to the passage we just read here in Genesis 49 and verse 10. It says, where the King James Version says, nor, Farrar Fenton says, or. Instead of nor, it should be or. That's the better translation, it says. The scepter shall not depart from Judah or the giver of law from between his feet. It says it's like the two parts of that statement are interchangeable, like a coin with two sides. God is talking about the scepter and the law being together. The scepter is about God's rulership. How do you rule? With the law of love. That is what this church is all about, referring to God's church, of course. And so it's talking about this rule of God on the throne of David. The quote continues and says, Young's literal translation, which is a literal Hebrew translation, reads, the scepter turns not aside from Judah and a lawgiver from between his feet till his seed come, and his is the obedience of the peoples. Continues on a little further. It says, Farrar Fenton says, or, and Young's literal says, and, based on the Hebrew grammar. One of our staff who has studied Hebrew wrote me explaining, the conjunction, and, is similar to using or, since both of them combine two subjects together, rather than separating them as nor does. So this is a little bit technical, but I think it's something we can follow. Nor separates two subjects, or combines them, similar to and. And so, when we understand the way Genesis 49 and verse 10 should be translated there correctly, it's showing that it's or rather than nor. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, or a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. So we're learning more about this throne of David. And the return of Christ. And again, this is a blessing for all people, as we'll see as we continue. It says, this indicates that the two offices or individuals spoken of here in Genesis 49 and verse 10, the scepter and lawgiver, are not separate. They are now combined into one. Genesis 49 and verse 10 combines the law and the scepter. So wherever you find God's law being taught and being followed, you're going to find the throne of David. That's different than it has been. But that is the way that it is at this time. The quote continues and says, this is talking about God's church getting the new throne and the new stone with the law of God. Remember, if you have the law, Mr. Armstrong said, that presupposes government. Or in this context, the scepter. It is all together now, the scepter and the law. And so again, there's a lot more to study regarding this subject, and if it's something you haven't heard before, please get the New Throne booklet that is at thetrumpet.com, and again, it's free. You can read it right now. You could download it and read it, or you could request the hard copy, which is a great way to do it as well, and that will be sent to you. And so ultimately, the throne of David, the scepter promise, culminates in Christ's return, and Christ will rule from that throne. And of course, Jesus Christ also sacrificed his life for all of mankind. God gave him as a sacrifice, and Christ willingly sacrificed himself. And so also, it opens up salvation to all mankind. I think we can begin to see how that promise to Abraham really truly is a blessing to all mankind, because salvation will be opened up to all mankind, every man in his season, as the Bible explains. But Christ is returning to sit on a very literal and real throne. Christ was physically a descendant of Abraham, seed of Abraham. So it's exactly like the Bible prophesied. He was also from the tribe of Judah on his mom's side. And of course, his father is God the Father. But he is from the tribe of Judah. So he is a seed of Abraham from the tribe of Judah. And Christ is a blessing to the whole world. To the whole world. Notice a few passages here in Luke. Luke 3, verse 23, and then we'll look at 33 and 34. Luke 3, 23, and then verses 33 through 34. It says, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was a son of Aminadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Esrom, which was the son of Perez, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham." And then it continues to trace the genealogy back. But again, it just highlights the fact that Christ was of Abraham's seed, and he was of the tribe of Judah. The correspondence course notes that Luke records Jesus' genealogy through his mother Mary. Joseph, mentioned in Luke 3 and verse 23, was actually the son-in-law of Heli, the father of Mary. So we don't want to be confused on that point. It's Christ's genealogy there is traced on his mother's side. Obviously, his father was God the Father. But notice that when Christ taught the multitudes, he spoke in parables to them. And so he spoke to them in a way that they didn't understand the meaning. But he gave some very important instruction here in teaching in Mark 4, verses 10 through 12. It says, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable." So he's here with his disciples. "And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them." The correspondence course says, "God did not intend to grant spiritual understanding and repentance to the descendants of Israel as a whole when Christ first came. Israel's chance for salvation is still ahead." And so they did hear Christ at that time speak, but he spoke in parables. They didn't understand. It wasn't their time to understand yet. And the amazing thing is, there were only 120 that believed Christ at the end of his ministry. Because, of course, no one can come to Christ unless God the Father calls them. You can see that in John 6 and verse 44. So when you look at the religions of the world today, there's large numbers in quite a few groups, millions of people, I think even up into a billion in some cases. But God's church is a small church. It's a small church. Christ himself, when he was here, had 120 converts. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Most people hated him and hated his message, those that were, I guess, the religious elite especially. Of course, there were plenty of people that really did respond to the message and did love him in that way, but many were not ready for that message. Physical Israel still didn't have the Holy Spirit of God during the time of Christ, so they didn't have a heart to obey. They were hard-hearted still. Christ only sent the Holy Spirit at the AD 31 Pentecost. And you can read about this in Acts 2. And so he sent the Holy Spirit only to a few. Again, only to those that God the Father had called and that were called into the true church. Notice 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." This is the body of Christ, so this is the true church. "Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Those whom God calls and are baptized into the body of Christ. And with the laying on of hands of God's true ministers, they receive a portion of God's Holy Spirit. And so what does this have to do with that promise in Genesis 49 and verse 10 and this throne of David and Christ returning to sit on that throne? Well, it has to do with it in the sense of spiritual salvation being opened to mankind, right? Christ came the first time and he was a sacrifice, as we've read about. He was a sacrifice and he had, again, only 120 converts. But then, because of his sacrifice, God then was able to open up the Holy Spirit to those that he has called. And so there are people throughout the ages from the time of Christ that have been called into the true church, into the body of Christ. There are different eras of it. You can read about that in Revelation. And have developed the character necessary to be born into the kingdom of God, to be resurrected into that kingdom when Christ returns. And God also has opened up his Spirit to those that he calls from Gentile nations. It's not just Israel that God calls people from. It's from Gentile nations as well. It's a small group, but they're from all over the world. God's true church has people from just about every corner of this earth. Notice the passage here in Galatians 3 and verse 7. See, again, just like we started off the program talking about, all nations are blessed, right? All peoples are going to be blessed. And it's beginning today with God's Spirit being given to those whom he calls. Again, a few today, but many more to come in the future. Galatians 3 and verse 7. It says, "Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Right? It's not about just what nationality or race a person is. Now we're talking about the spiritual phase of God's creation. And as it says here in Galatians 3 and verse 7, "Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." You know, during Christ's day, what did they say to him? The people that were persecuting him and arguing with him, they said, "Well, we're Abraham's children. We're the seed of Abraham. He's our father." But he told them, "You're of your father, the devil." Because they didn't have faith. They were very concerned about their genealogy and where they came from. And that's okay. It's not bad to be interested in that. I mean, there is value to that. Certainly, God pays attention to it. There would always be a descendant of the line of Judah, of King David, to sit on that throne. There would always be a descendant to sit on the throne of David until Christ returns. So God pays attention to that. But again, this gets to be about spiritual salvation. This gets to be about faith now. The children of Abraham, they are the ones that have faith and that are obeying God spiritually. Spiritually, then, they become the children of Abraham. Remember, God said that all people of the earth would be blessed through Abraham's seed. God's plan is for every human being, every single person. Christ's sacrifice opened the way of salvation for all mankind. And there's only a few first fruits that are called today before Christ's second coming. And that's according to God's purpose and plan. Remember John 6:44. People can only come to Christ when God the Father calls them. But all nations and peoples, when called in their season, can be baptized into the body of Christ, the true church, spiritual Israel, They can have faith and live by faith and be the children of Abraham. Those blessings that were promised to Abraham, physical blessings that are in Israelite nations today, that God has fulfilled that. And there's going to be much greater blessings ahead when Christ returns for Israel and for the whole world. Israel leading the way. But then all mankind will be offered salvation, offered a chance to be born into the kingdom and the family of God. And it will be ruled by Christ sitting on that throne of David. So you need to understand about these promises that God made to Abraham. You can learn so much more about those in the United States and Britain in Prophecy. Also, Mystery of the Ages. And again, a newer book that we have, The New Throne of David. All of those are so essential and so hopeful because even though there are serious problems on this earth and God's word does prophesy of terrible times, there's so many more wonderful prophecies about the great times after that when Christ does return and reestablishes God's kingdom on this earth from the throne of David. So please get that free literature. It's at thetrumpet.com. The United States and Britain in Prophecy, Mystery of the Ages, and The New Throne of David. And of course, sign up for the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. If you'd like to go back and listen to older episodes, you can find all of those at thetrumpet.com, kpcg.fm as well, and that's where all of our programming is located. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.